So we're going to continue, we are continuing this week with the story of Joseph. Just a little recap of what's happened to Joseph up to now. So up to now he's had quite a rough time. He's been singled out by his father as special, which really winds up his brothers. And then he interprets their dreams and tells them that one day they will bow down to him. He's then tricked by his brothers and they fling him in a pit and end up selling him to some Ishmaelites. And then last week with John, you heard about Joseph's encounter with Potiphar's wife. I'm quite glad I didn't get that chapter. I got this one, John. He did a good job. So, where are we this week? Where do we go? Is there any good in this Joseph story at all? Well, I think this week is the week when we see that God's hand was there all the time. At the end of the chapter with Potiphar, we meet the baker and the cupbearer. One with a really good outcome, one which was not so good. But an interesting last verse in chapter 40 that I know John referred to at the end of his talk last week. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. So Joseph had interpreted his dream. He told him he was going to be freed. That actually then happened. And then he forgot him. Even after Joseph had said this earlier on in the chapter, but when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. No, he still forgot him. Now, I have to admit, I hadn't really thought about this before and how significant this was in God's timing and plan. Because he didn't just mislay the information the next day in the excitement of being free and still alive, or the next week when he was with family and he was just busy. No, he forgot for 2 years. And for those 2 years, Joseph stayed in prison. Until right at the moment when the Pharaoh needed the cupbearer to remember. Right at the exact time. God knew that Joseph was needed for the job, and the cupbearer told Pharaoh about him. If he'd had told him before, would the response have been the same? Would the dreams have been so specific? Would Joseph have been able to interpret them the way he did? How often do we walk on our journey with struggles, ups and downs, and then the questioning of God's hand on our lives starts to creep in? Where are you, God? What am I waiting for? I see what you're doing with other people, and that's really exciting, but why are you not doing it for me? And then it happens, and we say, yes, all along the plan was there, but I just could not see it. God's detours for our lives start to come into view, and we know that he is still so much in control. In a matter of moments, everything is now going to change for Joseph. He goes from the prison to the palace, from being a prisoner in Egypt to Prime Minister of Egypt. All of that should cause us to stop and realise what an amazing story. One made for Hollywood, or even a West End musical. A story that should take our breath away. So, we have a problem. Pharaoh has had 2 dreams in one night, so vivid that he remembers them in really fine detail, and he is not happy. Lots of people try to help him with his dreams, but no one can. Pharaoh is becoming more troubled because he believes these dreams are significant for Egypt, but he cannot work out why. So then we have the plan. Suddenly, after 2 years, can I just remind you, he forgot him, that the cupbearer finally remembers what happened to him. Hey, well done. And tells Pharaoh about him. Verse 14 says, so Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeons, quickly, without wasting any time. And Pharaoh then shares about his dreams. In my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile when out of the river there came seven cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, seven other cows came up scrawny and very ugly and lean. I have never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the seven fat cows that came up first, but even after they ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. They looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dream, I saw seven heads of grain, full and good, growing on a single stalk. After them, seven other heads sprouted, withered and thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the seven good heads. I told this to the magicians, but none of them could explain it to me. So now we have a proposal. Joseph interprets the dreams, explaining that the seven big fat cows represent 7 years of plenty, but those 7 years would be followed by years of famine represented by the withered and ugly cows and corn cobs, which will consume the land. And now this is Joseph's moment. Let me just read that. I do wonder here, did Joseph think he was the man for the job? Clever plan, if so. Aha! You need a man to lead you. Or was he so wrapped up in the dream interpretation, he did not even consider who that man would be? Either way, he tells Pharaoh that he needs to find someone to lead the process into the time ahead, to take on that job. And in that moment, Joseph goes from prisoner to one of the most prized individuals in all of Egypt. He goes on to put together a plan of food collection and storage. The food that is being stored up is so abundant he can't even measure it. And in that time, he was married and had two sons, so all is going well. And I love the fact that we can read here about the naming of Joseph's sons in verse 51. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." The second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." Even though Joseph went through such hard times, he recognizes here that God has remained faithful to him. God has got me here. It's not me. It's the God whom I serve. And finally, we see the provision of God. Because as we know, the famine did come and it hit hard. It was severe all over the land of Egypt. And what a great verse this is. And all the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe everywhere. All the world came. So this is a great story. From prisoner to prime minister, Joseph is waiting on God, and in a couple of moments, God changes everything. What a great reminder to us that we never know in the middle of a trial when the storm clouds will be run off. Joseph had no idea that day when he woke up that it would be the day that everything would change. And it might be this week that God will change your circumstances as well. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to give God the glory for it? And that's the message to take away today, that this is a great story about Joseph and his life, his rise to glory. But we need to remember that it's God. God was working behind the scenes. God was the one who put Joseph right where he needed to be. It was God who gave Joseph the ability to interpret dreams. It was God who reminded the cupbearer of Joseph's ability after he'd forgotten him. It was God who gave Pharaoh the dreams he couldn't understand. It was God who confounded the magicians and the wise men of Egypt. It was God who gave Joseph the interpretation of Pharaoh's dreams. It was God who gave Joseph the ability to prepare the land of Egypt for famine. Over and over and over again, it was God. And that same God who served Joseph is the same God who serves us. We need to recognize that no problem is too big for him to figure out. If we promote Joseph to a high position in our minds, we are missing the real point of the story. So three little points to take away. This story reminds us of God's greatness. We serve a great God who can take us out of our prison cell and make us prime minister in a breath. It reminds us of the gifts that God gives us. God was the one who gave Joseph the ability to interpret dreams with the expectation that Joseph would use that gift. We shouldn't sit on our gifts and not use them. Joseph said yes in the moment, and his life would never be the same again. God gives you gifts, and he wants you to use them. And we're reminded to live for the glory of God. God has given us many successes in many different ways. So Joseph was told, hey, I hear you can interpret dreams. And he responds, it's not me, it's God. When the spotlight is on you, turn it and deflect it onto God and give him the glory. So let's pray together as I finish. And I'll say this prayer. Lord, I pray that you will take us through places we don't understand, just to bring us to the place where you need us to be. We just need to trust you. Help us to do that. Amen.